between a man and a woman.
And you've said that a couple of times now, so hold on. So you're saying, Barbara, you're saying you support that in the sense that from a political sense and a legal sense and all of that, but the traditional part of you still highly values the man and the woman aspect of marriage, and you hold that to a far higher standard. Is that safe, okay to say?
Absolutely, because that was the original, you see, in every culture.
Well, then let me say this. I'm going to say, Ava, you believe the same thing, right?
I do, but I also, the way that we procreate now, I mean, a same-sex couple can have a surrogate baby, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lovely thing. I don't see that as being something, you know.
And I really love what we're talking about here, because I want our listeners to understand that here's what's really cool about the conversation we're having right now, is that Barbara is politically more liberal-minded in her policies and her thoughts. Ava is conservative-minded in her policies and thoughts, and yet we have just found the complete commonality of this subject matter with both of these strong women, and I find it very fascinating. And let me say this, and I respect that. I also would believe that this marriage thing is probably traditionally via a man and a woman, and I can buy that. But again, to many, as a conservative myself, and as a Christian conservative, and yes, you can poo-poo that all you want, my friends, but let me say this. I don't believe God is going to judge us again. I don't believe he's going to deem all same-sex marriage people to hell. I don't think because there were two men or two women I don't believe they're going to hell because of that. And I know some of you out there believe that. And, you know, it really pisses me off, if I can be straight with you for a minute. Those of you who run around, with the sanctity of thinking you're better than everybody else because you don't want to accept the fact that marriage is, you know, it's the world isn't always your view, friends. It's not always the way you think it's going to be because that's your perfect world. That's not the way it works. And that's the problem, I think. And that's what pisses me off about the Republican Party, quite frankly, Ava Armstrong, is that they think their shit doesn't stink. And you know what? It stinks like hell.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure.
So how does that whole thing go, till death do us part? I think that was the whole thing about marriage. You walk down the aisle, she's dressed in all white, he's in a tux. Now that's in a traditional marriage, although now I see them come in on motorcycles now. I've seen them like in hot air balloons, or they parachute from planes and they get married now. If it's something exciting like that, like really, really cool, or like maybe you're on a space shuttle or something, or we can go to another planet, I might get into it, friends, at that point. But other than that, my opinion is marriage sucks. That's my view on it. So the show's over. Everybody go home. We're done.
No, 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 no.
I'll tell you, it's a man's view on it. I don't know. We've got Ava Armstrong here from the Northeast and Barbara McGee from the West Coast. We're talking about the relevancy of marriage today. And really, I think it gets into the whole relationship conversation. I'm sure we're going to go there. Let's find out exactly where we go. But my view on it, ladies, is, you know, I was just sharing with Barbara before we came on that my mom and dad were married for 53 years. Very traditional marriage. She was seven children in the family. And I'll just put that out there. And she, great mom, worked hard doing all the things. Didn't, you know, her job was the family. She didn't have another job because how could she? With seven kids and all of those responsibilities, it was impossible. And I hated it when people said she didn't work, because she worked her ass off. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
And my father, he was a contractor. So he had his own company. He was very busy. He was working incessantly around the clock to provide for the family. And that was the traditional marriage. Sort of, I guess, the way I refer to it in my life is the Leave It to Beaver sort of thing. That's kind of what I looked at growing up.
I love it.
That's kind of how it felt, guys. You know, it's like it was a Leave It to Beaver sort of thing. And there's so much to it, ladies, and the memories that flood back when we talk about this. And but then in my own life, where it goes now is just, I think like a lot of guys, I've become very turned off with marriage because, and I'll just go here and throw it at both of you. And I'm going to tell you right now, I think that people stop trying, they stop caring, they stop doing their best, and they exist. And the one thing I don't want with a relationship in my life is just to exist. Because at that point, why bother? What's left at that point, right?
Well, gosh, you've come right into what I write about. I write about people who are living lives of quiet desperation, either in unhappy marriages or living alone, having been through an unhappy marriage. So as a romance writer, and I throw suspense in there too, this is a big topic for me. And I see the family or marriage as a very important unit in our society. And I see many of our laws are based on that unit. And it's something that can be extremely gratifying if you have the right coupling. Let's leave it like that. I think it's all about finding the right person. And I'm very interested in how you mentioned continuing the romantic journey with that partner. And I say partner because I recognize people that are same-sex marriages as well. It doesn't really matter. I mean, love is love. And when you're with a partner, I think it's important to grow with them, the man exactly. as well as the woman, or, you know, both partners have to both be putting, this used to make me laugh when people would say, well, marriage, you know, a lot of feminists would say marriage is 50-50, you know, no, it isn't. It's 100-100.
Wow. Interesting.
So that's my view in a nutshell, but I can delve into it a lot more deeply.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting way to put it. Barbara, what is your take on it? You hear what Ava says, and you know, you got to remember, and she's right, she is an author on relationships, and that's all of her books and series are with relationships and probably more hot relationships, although they probably touch on a lot of the problems we're going to talk about on the show today. What is your perception of it, Barbara?
With marriage, is it was and has been and is defined as between a man and a woman, and it was brought in by the Creator initially as the agreement that allowed two people to be partners. This partnership was a man and woman for the protection and for the furthering of the children. Now, as we evolve, and we become more savvy and more interested in personal edification, self-fulfillment. And what about me? When we start thinking like that, then it alters the real reason why marriage was invented and created and sustained families in the beginning. It is to procreate a family and to give the children the basic security necessary to be successful, and also an agreement between two families to merge as one.
Yeah.
And that's where we're having a problem in the United States, because right now over 50% of marriages based on love and attraction mm-hmm. are in ruin. People are on their third and fourth marriage, Malcolm, because of the fact that we are marrying for all the wrong reasons.
Well, that's a great point. I know a lot of people who get married, like, as the weather changes, they find a new mate somehow. And you know what really gets me about people that I have such a hard time with, ladies, is how do a lot of people go through these relationships and these marriages, and they're able to just part ways and or even great significant others. I want to put that in the same category here. And then they can just dismiss people and move on in life like it never happened or it didn't matter. I'm not one of those kind of people that can just throw people away. I tend to want to keep people in my life. I like to build great relationships. I like to, I'm talking in general here now, so maybe I stretched it too far, but not really. Because to me, a marriage or a relationship of any kind has to be a friend. And to me, it's got to be a best friend, somebody you're sharing a life with and doing very cool things with. But Ava, you hit it head on a moment ago for me. And I think one of the biggest causes of marriage failures, beside what you say, Barbara, is not finding the right mate to begin with. But once you do have that right mate, is what, Ava, what you pointed out is what I find very problematic, is that relationships don't continue to grow with each other. One takes off and goes, you know, they don't keep up with each other. So they don't grow in tandem. They're not respecting each other's space to do unique things, but you've also got to connect back and have those similar interests and those things that bring vitality to a relationship and a uniqueness that you want to share. I mean, nothing is more important to me than getting up in the morning and having a cup of coffee with the woman you love, you know, or retiring in the evening with a glass of wine with that same woman. I mean, that to me, ladies, that to me is sex on the loose. I'll take that every day of the week. Thank you very much.
And see, you would be a wonderful husband in that regard, because the relationship has to come before everything else, even before the children, believe it or not. And I know this is going to sound kind of selfish, but without mom and dad being together and being in love, and you won't have the family unit without that. So that needs to take top priority. And the sad part is, like, as people, you know, remain married and they have children, and there are all these things, all these obstacles and pressures and all of these things that seem to weigh you down, and you forget about the romantic moment. And I love the way that you described it, Malcolm. You wake up in the morning and you can't wait to have coffee with that person. Yes, that's being in love. And when you're really, really in love with someone, that person matters as much, if not more so, than your own feelings, your own self. There are times you will wake up with that person in the morning and they're having a rough day, or they're facing something difficult, and you can be there and be their shoulder and hold them and get them through that time. And as well, they can do that for you. And there have been many, many studies done on the health of human beings, and the healthy thing for your heart and for your soul is to be in a loving relationship. So
they actually say, Ava, the studies actually, that I've looked at that, by the way, and I just want to tell you something. Studies actually show that you live longer when you are in a happy, healthy relationship. Do you know that?
Yes.
Absolutely. I just want to say that the idea, I think this is where we sell the wrong bill of goods. When we say it is necessary to be in love, it's necessary to be romantic, it's not, you know, my parents were together for over 50 years. There was no romance. There was an understanding and a respect.
Now, wait a minute, Barbara, yours were together for over 50 years as well?
Over 50 years.
See, mine were as well, and it's the same thing. My family is the same as yours then, love. There was a respect there, but it's not like they were in love. What the hell was love? What did love got? What is that song? What has love got to do with it? Tina Turner, isn't it? Somebody sing that out, belt that out. What has love got to do with it, right?
Exactly.
My parents were long-term as well, and my dad never stopped trying to please her. I mean, he would go out of his way, pick out flowers for her, for her birthday. I mean, he never, ever forgot the anniversary. I mean, it was always a little, like, he knew the jewelry that she liked, and he would always, like, pick up some little thing for her. I mean, it was always, I saw this growing up, how he treated her. And he told me, as when I was a young woman and I began dating, he said, don't settle for any guy that treats you less than this. Let me tell you right now, Missy. He said, you make sure you set your standards very high, and you have to have, you just have to respect yourself enough to understand that. And I did.
Barbara, did your father do that to your mother, Barbara?
Yes, but that was a choice. And what I mean by that is my mother was very attractive, extremely striking. And my father was smitten by my mother. And this is what it used to be. So when a partner was selected, it was selected because, first off, they weren't having sex before marriage. Second off, if there was any pregnancy, let's say they did have sex, let's say that did happen, there was an immediate marriage to cover the woman. And third, he asked her and proposed to her, saying, I pledge to take care of you all of your life. And I think that this is where we have lost our direction with marriage. First off, by saying, hey, I have a deal breaker. These are my deal breakers. And if you do this, this, and this, and this, I'm not going to be your wife, or I'm not going to be your husband. And then we have men who are afraid of marriage, who don't see that marriage is a lifestyle. We have women that are cheapening, as Ava said, cheapening themselves and settling for relationships with people who don't even respect them. And we expect these relationships to be held together by a piece of paper. It's not going to happen.
Well, when you say held together by a piece of paper, that's actually my biggest problem, is when your mate expects it. When she expects it to be a certain way, a certain thing, it's all sort of expected now. And there's this protocol that goes with that expectation, rather than to keep it fresh and real and interesting. And I think this expectation, and what really bothers me with it, is then people come along and that piece of paper that I know a lot of my Christian friends worship, and they think that's like the biggest blessing from God, and that's like an amazing thing, okay? I don't have the same view, quite frankly. I think the piece of paper is just the ownership from the government that allows people to think that they own each other. And I think it's the first, so I'm going to be a pessimist here and say, I think it's the first problem in relationships is the fact that the government gives you this piece of paper that seems to say that you think you own each other. And then that goes in the desk drawer somewhere, and we forget what really makes a relationship up. And I think that's where we go wrong.
Well, let's think about this. Let's think about the fact that we're not the only culture that practices marriage. So if we look at some of the other cultures, and we think about the fact, I had a friend that was from India. And can you believe that I gave her a ride once in the car, and she told me, you know, my husband was an arranged marriage. Now, I already knew this because I understand their culture, and I always wanted to know what that meant. But I want you to know that she had such a respect for him and such a reverence for him. She had met him like 3 years before. He was maybe 25 years her senior. And she was so respectful of him and what he thought. And I think what happens in American culture is we have more respect for the production. We have more respect, unfortunately, for the ring that you're given. I mean, it's the first thing when you get engaged, Malcolm. Us girls, the first, where's the ring, girl? Let me see. And if the ring is not suitable, I mean, if it's not a carat or above, then we're thinking, that's not a good...
Then they think he's a cheap bastard right away. I mean, come on, he's thrown to the side. Right, you kick him in the nuts and throw him to the side of the sidewalk.
Exactly. So what we're finding is that we're allowing the media, we're allowing the financial, the advertisers to kind of give us this idea of how to start off our wedding. I just went to a wedding that cost over $250,000. Who's got that kind of money?
What a waste of freaking money, first of all. I mean, why do people do that? I got friends, Barbara, who just went out and did the same thing. They got married with a big wedding. And by the way, I hate weddings about as much as I hate funerals and wakes, okay? I mean, you can put them in the same category to me. I mean, the whole marriage thing and everything. I'm just uncomfortable there, man, you know? I mean, but it's true. And yet, I got friends who just did this. But here's the thing. They go broke. So they go broke, and they put all their money into this production. And then I asked them afterward. I said, well, So you got a lot of money in gifts. Did you make the money back, or was you able to make some money on? I mean, was it profitable to have this wedding? Because I know it was a pain in the ass. It was a lot of work, and they looked at me and said, "No, it cost us a fortune." I said, "Then why the hell did you do it?" "Well, we wanted to." I said, "Wanted to what? Aggravate yourself for a year and a half as you plan this thing?" I said, "For what?" I said, "Why don't you go out to a private island somewhere, or, you know, jump out of a parachute naked, or take a thing, or do something, or spend some money and travel? I mean, why not spend it on you than to spend it on all these forgiven, nasty relatives and friends of yours who don't give a rat's ass anyways?" And on that point, I'll be back with Ava Armstrong and Barbara McGee in a moment. You can see I'm just loving this marriage thing, kids.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a great lineup back at AmericaOutLoud.com. And also, get the apps. We now stream 24/7 on Android and Apple. Just look for America Out Loud Talk Radio.
So now that I'm all worked up on this marriage thing, we got to toss this over, Barbara, to Ava, her career is creating all these relationships. Tell me, Ava, where I'm going wrong, and how could you create like the best perfect relationship for me? Because you, as a novelist, you write all these awesome relationships and books that come into your mind. Where am I going wrong? How do I get my shit together? And where do I go from here, love?
In some of my novels, there are marriages that take place. And Malcolm, you'd love them, because one of them takes place in a barn. Another one takes place on a beach. Those kinds of things are very meaningful and very low cost, but they're beautiful. Love itself is the centerpiece here. The documents that say you're married, those are legal, yes, and they're nice to have because they protect both of the parties as far as assets and things of that nature if you pass away. And the children are also considered in it as well. So that is kind of the glue legally that holds you together, but there's so much more than that. My books kind of delve into the relationship much deeper than that. There are so many things about a man that's suitable for a woman, and I truly believe that women teach men how to treat them. I think women have a tremendous amount of power, and a lot of them don't even realize that they do. Sadly enough, our society in this country anyways has kind of cheapened that a bit. And I try to bring back some of the old-fashioned ideas and old-fashioned values in my novels. And I'm not ashamed to do that because that's kind of how I grew up. And it worked for me and it worked for some of my friends. And I look at some of those people that you're describing that are having the, you know, $200,000 marriage, you know, ceremonies, and, you know, they're more worried about the ring or the dress or whatever. And those are not the things you need.
Those marriages even make it, do you think? I bet they don't if there's a study done. Yeah, it's like ridiculous.
Don't.
I mean, how can they when everything... Listen, when your whole relationship with this other person, Ava, Barbara, is starting off in a very formular style, where everything is formula, first of all, number one. And number two, where the stress is through the roof. And number three, where you want to kill him or her, and by the time you get through the marriage and the honeymoon, you're exhausted. How can that be a good foundation to build anything on? And so I think the old values of traditional marriages in that sense seem to be going away. From everything I read out there about this in recent times here, and Barbara, even some of the stories we got from some the producers on some of this, I'm kind of sensing that I think most people believe, and studies are showing, that marriage is on the outskirts of being subjected to oblivion. That very soon it's going to be so far from the stretches of our imagination. So I pose the question to you, Barbara, up front here, and then Ava can answer that as well. Is marriage really outdated, and is its best days behind us? or will there be a resurrection to the foundation of marriage in the future?
Let me tell you what I noticed about this couple. They had been engaged for 7 years. I think engagements used to be 6, 7, maybe a year at the maximum. Now we're seeing engagements 7, 8 years. We're seeing a trend of, well, we should live together first and see if it's going to be okay. So we have people that are participating in let's check out the milk before we buy the cow kind of thing. And then there's children being created out of wedlock. I mean, this is a problem. So what's happening is if marriage is out of date, is it because we as a society have said that the traditional marriage between a man and woman is no longer the definition, and anybody can have any relationship they want and still bring children in it? And then we turn around and say, well, now we're no longer successful as a society. So that, I think, was the argument.
Well, that's happening, Barbara. I mean, if you study the kids that go to the school, that go to my kids' school, for instance, the vast majority of them, I mean, majorly, are divorced. They don't have a father in the home. They don't. Something's happening. And we're talking across the board here. And, you know, it's just very common now. It's more common that they're not together than they are together, I think.
But that doesn't mean marriage is insignificant or not needed. What you're seeing is the battlefield that we're on right now with divorce. Mm-hmm. Divorce is a whole nother show that you should do because it's very destructive in many ways. And I have friends who disagree with me. I have liberal friends, and I love to chit chat about these things with them. And one of my friends, you know, lived with a gentleman for years, and she said, oh, we don't need to get married because we're not planning to have children. Well, bing, she got pregnant. So, you really have to think these things through. And I think moving in with someone is really, in effect, you're marrying that person. You're making a commitment. It might not be legal, but you're starting that relationship. And Malcolm, when you opened the show, I was very pleased to hear you say that you're not a person that can just pick up with a person and then drop off and go on to someone else.
Ava, I can't do it, honey.
That means you're a good man. That means you're a good man. And this is another thing that is so important about marriage, the marriage unit. I'm speaking of the family. And like I said, it could be same-sex marriage, and they're raising a child. It's raising that child and explaining to them the importance of having a Malcolm kind of personality that way, that kind of heart and that kind of soul, where you actually do hurt when you separate or you do have feelings for that person because you gave part of yourself to that person for probably a good long time. So, yes, it demonstrates that you have a good heart. So these are the types of children we need to raise. That's what I just wanted to make that point. The family unit is so important because we're giving these children values, and they're also learning them in school, and they also learn them hopefully in a religious fashion as well, so that we're kind of, you know, covering all bases with them. And that can be done too in a divorced family if the parents are on the same page. So I just wanted to toss that in there.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I'm getting the feeling right now that, both of you, both Barbara and Ava, are thinking in a similar way, that the importance of a marriage, fundamentally, and the importance of children within the marriage are important. They're important to society. They're important to the bond and the whole relationship of what a marriage is. And I think, Barbara, you've said the same thing, versus I'm sort of the only one right here right now. It sounds like that is anti all of it. I think you're kind of like the traditional. I mean, your folks were married for over 50 years yourself, and you kind of come from that same mindset, you're saying, yeah?
The problem is not marriage, mm-hmm. because marriage we know works. And we know that it has all the propensity to bring forth very valuable individuals.
See, I don't think it works. I don't agree with you, Barbara, by the way.
Into a society where we're having a problem is the fact that there are so many things that are attacking marriage.
Yes.
Such as what you just said. Well, I don't agree. Well, a lot of men, even in spite of the fact that marriage makes a man more healthier, it adds to his lifespan. And by the way, we women live longer than men traditionally. And when men decide that they would rather participate in a single lifestyle, they only shorten their own lives. The value is in the partnership. And I think that there's so many different things that are attacking the partnership, such as online dating, the internet sites that actually look for men who are dissatisfied with their current relationship or their current marriage. Then you have other sites, can you believe this? This is all regarding the internet, that are actually looking for married men who would like to cheat on their wives, you know, and be discreet about it. So you have a lot of different pressures on the marriage.
Many temptations.
Yes, even the courts that say, like you, Malcolm, which I loved also, Ava, that he says, I don't want to throw someone away. But let me tell you something. What really is the ravenous part of divorce or the end of the marriage is when the courts get involved and then say, you, Malcolm, are going to split half of your possessions and the wife is going to take it. You're not going to get to see the kids. She's going to, I mean, there's kind of like a cookie cutter financial agreement that comes when the relationship ends. And I think men resent that.
Well, let me tell you what, not this man. So let me correct you right now, Barbara McGee. You know what? She can have any of it, all of it. I could care less. I don't even give a good shit about any of the possessions or the items. What you can't have is my soul and my heart and my love, and if it's not real. How's that?
Yeah, well, I
you're one in a million. You're one in a million. Most men at this point, I can cite a couple of very important sports athletes that actually consider a woman to be someone who is plotting against them because of their success.
Mm-hmm.
And they have actually retaliated by having them murdered, beat up, removed, ostracized because the woman becomes pregnant with them both in a joint relationship, such as living together, but them feeling, men now, feeling I should not be financially responsible for the women that I enjoy and that entertain me. So what we have is we have people who are looking to be entertained opposed to people who are wanting to commit to a partnership.
Well, the way I see it is, if that woman is going to do that, the way you described it right then you married the wrong person to begin with, and you need to get out of that. I mean, if someone's going to do that, and I know they exist, Barbara, and I know they're probably the majority versus the minority, but I have to tell you, how can anybody sell another human being out just for money? And when I look at my own life, listen, I can always make money. I can always do things. I can always set the world on fire. I can do any of that stuff in a big way. The world is full of opportunity. I see it as an oyster for all of us. Absolutely. But you know what? To sell somebody out just for money, I mean, I can't even fathom it. And nor will I stay in a relationship for money ever in my life. Because you know what? I don't get into possessions. I don't value possessions. I'm not materialistic in that way. They just don't do it for me. It's great when you can do these things and have them, Ava, but you know what? They're not going to change who I am, Ava. Ava, I want to tell you something right now. I have been in my life where I, as a businessman, and years ago, I've fallen on my ass where I didn't have two nickels to rub together. And do you know something? It never changed who I was. I got up the same way, I acted the same way with the same sincerity and the same confidence and the same being that the world was full of opportunity and that we would just fix it all and it would be fine. Somehow we'll figure it out. So I think money is a greedy subject.
Somebody raised you right.
A pack of wolves.
No.
I don't think so.
I think it was your mom. I think she was a very strong person.
My dad was always jealous of me, and we never got along as a young man. And I found a lot of my family was that way.
That's not uncommon. That's not that uncommon, believe it or not. There are a lot of guys that have a tough relationship with their dad. But mother is very important, very, very important relationship with a young man. And I'm going to Barbara's example about the sports player or whatever it was. He was also making some bad decisions. So it's very important how we raise our young men. And it's very important how we raise our young women. This all begins at a very young age. Respect for oneself. Whatever happened to Madonna? I mean, who raised her? Don't you wonder what happened to her? Or Miley Cyrus, who's doing all this kinky weird stuff now. I mean, this to me is just such a degrading thing for women. Of course, it's legal. They can do that. It's a free country. But again, I see this as being so degrading to themselves and to women in general. So we teach people how to treat us. That's what we really need to understand here. The kernel of this whole podcast should be, marriage is wonderful. It can be a beautiful thing. But we teach people how to treat us.
Well, I agree with that. But more than the marriage thing, I substitute the word marriage for relationship. It not to be disrespectful to the union or whatever it is, but to me, it's a relationship. And I know a lot of my Christian friends get all hung up on this. But again, I'm going to just tell you right now, and I want to put it out there and say this much. I do not believe for a minute that God is going to restrict me or anyone else from heaven because we did or didn't approve in some marriage thing. I don't think that gets us into heaven. I don't think that's the ticket forward. And I think for a lot of my strong Christian friends and the overly religious people who think that, I think it's a farce. And I think they're living a phony life. I don't think God gives us a ticket. I don't think we pass, go and collect $200 because of marriage. Now, I think if you go through life hurting people, I think if you do a lot of the evil things and the bad things, and I think, you know, there are boundaries here. There are boundaries within all of this. But I don't believe that marriage is the ticket forward just because somehow we've cloaked that in the religious spirit, Ava.
I have one question, real quick question here. You mentioned that your producers gave you some information before the show and that in your view you think marriage is going out the window, okay? Why then did same-sex couples fight so hard in court to have the label marriage put on their union?
I can answer that. The reason why is because, now I'm going to give you a couple of scenarios. The reason why is because the institution of marriage, again, has protections for the people that participate in it. The protection is that I can make medical decisions about my husband if necessary. If there's a life-altering situation, I go on the insurance, the medical insurance at the job. I have the ability to take out insurance. I have the ability to control the children. And if one of us passes away, I have the ability to retain the wealth. And that is the point of why I think same-sex couples fought so hard, because that was what they were outside of. But let me tell you, the problem with marriage is that if, in fact, it is all given to the partner, what about the children? And that's the problem.
Barbara, I want to ask you, do you support same-sex marriage?
I support a same-sex union. I believe that everybody, you choose who you want to be with. But I think the definition of marriage came way before your life, my life, and Ava's life. and it was between a man and a woman.
And you've said that a couple of times now, so hold on. So you're saying, Barbara, you're saying you support that in the sense that, from a political sense and a legal sense and all of that, but the traditional part of you still highly values the man and the woman aspect of marriage, and you hold that to a far higher standard. Is that safe, okay to say?
Absolutely, because that was the original, you see, in every culture.
Well, hold, all right, then let me say this. I'm going to say, Ava, you believe the same thing, right?
I do, but I also, the way that we procreate now, I mean, a same-sex couple can have a surrogate baby, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a lovely thing. I don't see that as being something, you know.
And I really love what we're talking about here, because I want our listeners to understand that here's what's really cool about the conversation we're having right now, is that Barbara is politically more liberal-minded in her policies and her thoughts. Ava is conservative-minded in her policies and thoughts, and yet we have just found the complete commonality of this subject matter with both of these strong women, and I find it very fascinating. And let me say this, and I respect that. I also would believe that this marriage thing is probably traditionally via a man and a woman, and I can buy that. But again, to many, as a conservative myself, and as a Christian conservative, and yes, you can poo-poo that all you want, my friends, but let me say this. I don't believe God is going to judge us again. I don't believe he's going to deem all same-sex marriage people to hell. I don't think because there were two men or two women I don't believe they're going to hell because of that. And I know some of you out there believe that. And, you know, it really pisses me off, if I can be straight with you for a minute. Those of you who run around, you know, with the sanctity of thinking you're better than everybody else because you don't want to accept the fact that marriage is, you know, it's the world isn't always your view, friends. It's not always the way you think it's going to be because that's your perfect world. That's not the way it works. And that's the problem, I think. And that's what pisses me off about the Republican Party, quite frankly, Ava Armstrong, is that they think their shit doesn't stink. And you know what? It stinks like hell. And on that point, we'll be back in just a minute. Well, we're a new breed of talk radio, and with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, with shows like Blue Lives Radio, OPSEC Radio Special Operations, shows that impact your health, like The Misdiagnosed Life, The Dr. Stem Show, What's Inside You, Mind, Body, Energy, and our newest show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at America Out Loud Talk Radio Network.
You're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. My name is Barbara McGee, and I'm here from Los Angeles. We have, from the Northeast, Ava Armstrong, and of course, Malcolm Out Loud. And we are discussing, is marriage out of date? And I wanted to respond what we were talking about same-sex marriage, and then the who's going to heaven, and if you're married, will that get you into heaven?
Amen. Hallelujah. Sister, go for it.
And so what we're really saying, what we really have to understand, is if we go by the law saying the moral law, then we should not be having any sex prior to marriage. We must understand that when I was raised, being a virgin was the most powerful possession you had, and that you could go, I mean, you could kind of see how low you could go without coming up being non-virginic, because that was your value as a woman. And I think that when we start talking about the liberals and the liberal ideas behind having sex and tasting the fruit and doing what self-serving and using people's bodies for our personal entertainment, then we start seeing the problem that is eroding our society. We need to remember that inviting people into our bodies, into our minds, and into our spirits is the problem if we don't have the blessing from God. That's what I'm saying.
Ava Armstrong, what do you say to that?
Well, I believe that a physical relationship between a man and a woman or between two people is something that is sacred. I don't think it's something you should give away easily. There should be a lot of thought that goes into it. Sex before marriage, it happens. And there again, I feel like it needs to be that special person that, you know, you may be marrying. So I don't look upon sex as a casual thing. And the characters I write about in my novels that embrace that lifestyle, that, you know, it's very casual, they usually end up in ruin. So I do agree with Barbara that it's kind of a scourge on our society right now. And, you know, everything that's easy, just remember this, it's not necessarily good. The things that are more difficult to attain are usually worth having. So you can go ahead, Malcolm.
Wow, well said. Well said. I would have a hard time topping any of that because you and Barbara are making far too much sense for me at this moment.
Exactly. Well, if you have a daughter, Malcolm, if I don't know if you have boys or girls.
I do. I have a daughter that's 15, yes.
Absolutely. I have a daughter that's 15. And so this is what I have to impress upon her, because if I leave it to her to make up her mind and let her go out to what Snapchat, Instagram, and all her friends are saying and doing,
I know.
Then she will be left to ruin. Because that's what's happening nowadays to these young people.
Well, let's face it, ladies. Women need to, women, young ladies, they need to protect themselves. They need to protect their bodies. There's no question about it. Because quite frankly, it's unfair in society today because the women get left holding the bag. I mean, they're the ones that have to deal with it, which is why then you have other problems and challenges with unborn children and sex out of wedlock. And then you've got, you know, the abortion rate goes sky high. And now we're into this whole political argument of, you know, whose right is it? And it gets really, it unravels. It's a nasty, nasty road we travel then. And it really does come back to both of you are hitting it head on here. All of the foundation and the necessities of a life. I mean, you both can teach me a lot at this point. It's just that I become sort of, I've watched a lot of people and my view of it has become tainted somewhat. And I've also seen women not follow through in the way they should, that they say they're going to follow through with. And it bothers me a great deal.
Go into detail on that.
What do you mean by that? Yes, absolutely. When you mean what a woman brings to the table? Because yeah. I've heard that before.
And they lie to you. Yeah, and they lie to you straight out. I mean, yeah, so, you know.
What, Malcolm?
I know. I'm debating myself, do I go there or don't I go there? But, you know, we talk about being authentic all the time, which you know I am, friends. You know I am out there, but for me, you know, I got married very young. I mean, I was 18 years old, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was married for over 30 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't quit at anything, Ava. Even as a young boy, I was the last one off the ball field in the evening. I never quit. I'm a persistent and very persistent person. And I'm about... I'm about doing it right. I want it to be the best it can be, and I want to excel at whatever it is I'm doing. It's just a drive. It's a mechanism in me. I can't make that stuff up. And
you have to understand too. I just have to interject here for 1 second. If something fails, even though you've given it your all, that's not always your fault.
Yeah, right.
I can hear in your voice, Malcolm, that you are like many men who were sincere in their commitment, and then somewhere along the line, you became disappointed.
Well, Ava hit it head on. We stopped growing with each other. I grew. I was achieving big things in life. I found us no longer communicating and connecting. I started to see my parents in my own marriage, and boy, did that bother me. you see, well, because you they know, come from that generation where, I mean, they, you know, they existed. Sort of, you put it out there pretty well earlier, Barbara, in the show here. They existed. They didn't, they weren't in love. I mean, what is being in love, or, you know, you become very familiar with this person and you sort of love them for the fact that they're with you on this journey. And that's what marriage is? Okay. And we're supposed to do that? Oh, okay. And I have some very close friends, very Christian friends, who told me I need to get over it. I need to just stay in the marriage and I need to just get through it. And I need to not, and that I need to not worry about this life. I need to worry about the eternity and just suck it up. And I was told that, and I had a hard time sucking it up. I have to tell you, it wasn't a good program. And the long short of it is that I ended up falling in love with another woman in an amazing way, and it changed my life. And it happened all at once, and it was somebody that I met through the corporate boardrooms. And we worked together in the business setting in a very strong way. I loved strong women. I loved what she was doing. It was very good. And I helped her with it. We became very best friends. And I parted ways in my marriage, in that relationship. And I started anew with this woman. And it gets complicated from there. So things happened. This woman got sick for a little while. You know, we were having a lot of challenges personally, and quite frankly, I was having a hard time letting the responsibilities of the marriage go because of the children and her, and I was trying to do all the right things, and I didn't put myself first in any of it. So I would do all the right things, or I thought they were the right things, but who were they the right things for? So I would take them on holiday, I would take them for Christmas, I would come over for dinner, I would do all the things I could do to be part of that life. I would. In fact, I paid all the bills, I did all of the things. Whatever I thought was the right thing is the way I did it. But I was never happy, and I sacrificed myself on the other side with this amazing relationship that was created, that we had. And then what happened is, and I lost her.
Oh, yeah.
I lost her. And it's there's a lot of complexities in all of that, friends. I certainly can't get into here at this moment, but I lost her. And we stopped existing. She had to get another career. She had to move to another city. And we were best friends. We were certainly in love, and we had a whole lot going on in this life. And what I thought was going to be a lot more, in fact. But from there, all of the things that she promised me, that we would always be best friends, that we would always be together, that we always were, we were connected in many, many ways. All the things that she promised me, she kept none of them up. So what I meant by that is, all of those commitments and all of those things that she told me to my face, to my eyes, to my soul, she didn't keep any of them up.
She wasn't as invested as you in this relationship.
She was initially, but she had been married a couple of other times, with all due respect, Ava, and she had had a lot more relationships in her life than I had. And quite frankly, it was easy for her to walk away, as many people can do. I have a hard time with that, and I've always had a hard time in my life with that. I don't know how other people just throw people away on the course of the day, or they just, you know, I don't know what it is with people, and they disrespect each other, and they, you know, and then it becomes this greed and this fighting, and, you know, and then it's about possessions, and you know what? Life is far too short. Life is far too short to be fighting about objects and things, kids and life. Why fight about all that nonsense? I mean, I just don't have it in me, you know?
I want to thank you for being so honest and so open. And that is really, I think, where we as women miss the entire picture about who men really are. And you've really shared the fact that you were extremely hurt and disappointed in both relationships, and that you were let down. And I think that we as women, We only, and I say that because I am a woman, and I think that I think about men that they're much more harder, and they're much more calculating in how they handle us in relationships. But what I'm seeing is that you were just as vulnerable, if not more, than the women that you chose. So that is what we need to really realize.
And this traditional sense of religion and marriage and is very bothersome to me. And the fact that our political elite and our Christian elite tell everybody how to live their lives is also bothersome to me. Shut the hell up. Go live your own life in your own house. Do your own thing. And because God did not mandate you to tell the rest of us how to live. Period. And I'll still see you all up at the gates there, my friends. Guaranteed. Barbara McGee, Ava Armstrong. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.